Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Grendene's first quarter 2006 results conference call. Today with us we have Pedro Grendene-Bartel, Vice President, Marcos Peixoto, CFO and Investor Relations Director, Gelson Luis Rostirolla, Administrative and Controlling Director, Doris Wilhelm, Investor Relations Officer. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Grendene's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements will be made under the Safe Harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Grendene's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Grendene and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Pedro Grendene-Bartel, Grendene's Vice President, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Pedro, you may begin the conference.
Thank you all for attending the Grendene conference call. Now I would like to turn the conference to Marcos Peixoto, the company's CFO, who will give you details about the first quarter results.
Good morning, everyone. We're very glad to have you here. Thank you very much. In a very disciplined and a very even humble way, we may say that we are satisfied with the outlook for the coming two quarters. The first quarter of 2006 still had modest results, yet pretty much in line with what we expected to achieve the first half that we had projected previously and the guidance that we had given 3 months ago. Of course, that guidance is no longer valid, that we're looking at the coming 6 months, second quarter and third quarter versus the same period 1 year before, and we're very confident, even more so than we were 3 months ago. Right now, we are looking at the first quarter results with the same trend of results that we had in the past several quarters, which is lower sales and higher profit. Why? Because of the very severe effort of cost-cutting and expenses reduction. That said, we were able to achieve a higher profit in the recent quarters, and we do expect in the coming two quarters, but there is one important change. For the very first time since we have been given formal guidance for the coming 6 months, and we started that in August 04 last year, okay? And since that 4th of August, every single guidance that we have given was of lower sales. And unfortunately, that has been confirmed, and even more than people would have expected, sales have been decreasing materially. But for the first time, we're giving guidance for higher sales in the coming 6 months. And we'll discuss that in more detail. So the bottom line here, and we'll get into more detail for the first quarter, but the bottom line here is that we are going through a very sustained trend, quarter after quarter of higher profit. And for the first time, we envision higher sales in the coming quarters. And so the profit with the operational leverage of the company and the fact that we cut costs and expenses to a great extent, the profit and the EBITDA should grow more than 30% in the coming two quarters. I would like to call your attention to the conclusion of this trend on the page 2 of the press release. If we're given guidance for the coming two quarters, we begin to have a bit of a more a longer period to compare, let's say, the 12-month accumulated, because we have the previous two quarters and the guidance for the horizon of the coming two quarters. So looking in the past 2 years or 8 quarters since the second quarter of 2004, you see there for every quarter the year-on-year variation of the net income. And then from the first quarter of 2005 onwards, the 12-month accumulated profit year-on-year. And we see that we're going through this sustained trend with a low volatility of this measure and going guidance after guidance, quarter after quarter, already over 20% higher year-on-year, the 12-month accumulated profit. And for the period ending in the third quarter of 2006, we're talking of a 23% higher 12-month accumulated profit. And we're very proud to be achieving that. Of course, we're saying that in a humble way. We know we're in the middle of a very severe process of cost-cutting, expenses reduction. The environment is not easy for shoes producers right now with the current exchange rate, but we are proud of what we are achieving in terms of that cost reduction and the fact that finally we're beginning to revert the sales performance and to grow sales in the coming period. Looking at the first time, the first quarter specifically, for this result, there was a partial reversal in the operational results, which is despite the lower sales revenue, EBITDA is once again growing. We've been having EBITDA sort of around a break-even year-on-year, flat results year-on-year with a small decrease or a small increase in the past few quarters, and we increased the EBITDA 3% in this first quarter. Although that's a very, very modest result, again, that is in view of the 11% sales decrease in the domestic market. That is a bit of an achievement, and thanks to our cost reductions. There was an important recovery on the exports. They reacted positively for the fourth quarter in a row, and we had a big increase in volumes and a big increase in dollar terms. Of course, given the exchange rate in a local currency, that was still a break-even with a zero growth year-on-year. But with the cost reduction that we commented, we could increase the gross margin 40 basis points, and that helped us, of course, to reach the slightly higher EBITDA. It's important to notice that, one, we had a reduction, important reduction in the cost of raw materials, and we'll discuss that in a minute, and then an increase in the productivity of our labor, and finally, because of the increase in volumes, we diluted fixed costs, and the gross margin improved a little bit. For the SG&A, there was a 12% reduction that helped us to gain further 130 basis points of margin. And so with that SG&A, with overall general administrative expenses being trimmed down, but especially the selling expenses because of the lower advertising, we could increase EBITDA a little bit. Of course, again, this quarter, we had higher net financial results because of the fact that our net cash position keeps increasing. We are already with the 459 million reais of a net cash position. That is a 45% increase year-on-year. And also because we are fully hedged in terms of the exchange rate, we have the zero exposure policy for our balance sheet in terms of exchange rate, and also that helped us year-on-year 7 million reais. So finally, the net income increasing 11% year-on-year is, of course, short of what we would like to do. We want to perform much better than that in the coming quarters, but we're en route for a much better result, and especially in the 12-month accumulated, we're quite confident in the coming quarters. Moving on to what we call non-financial results, we would like just to call attention very briefly to the fact that we launched a newsletter this week, 2 days ago. This newsletter focuses on our non-financial results. There we discuss things as our participation in GRI, the Global Reporting Initiative, or things as sustainable design, which is in the core of our philosophy, things as social responsibility, corporate responsibility, environmental responsibility, as a whole and things as such. And we hope you have a chance to look at it and have a chance to glance over, and I hope that you like it. We, of course, will not substitute press releases for the newsletter. It's a different vehicle. We do not aim to substitute the formal release that we have. So all material facts will always be posted as press release to the investors, to the press, to the analysts. But also with this new vehicle, we hope to be able to discuss in more detail material public information, or to discuss non-material information such as, say, sustainable design and things as such. So that's on the newsletter. Going on with more specifics to the guidance you have on page 5 of the press release, exactly what we expect for the coming two quarters. That was translated in the 12-month accumulated growth of 23% adjusted profit year-on-year for the third quarter, up to the third quarter. And that means that for the second and third quarters, compared to the same period 1 year ago, we would expect a 6% growth in sales. And that is despite the decrease in exports of 4% in dollars or 16% in local currency because of the challenging environment of the current exchange rate. The domestic market is, for the first time and in a material way, increasing year on year. We're talking of a near double digit of 9% growth of the domestic market year on year. We're very confident on that. And given the operational leverage expansion of the results, our low cost and expenses, EBITDA and profits should grow over 30% in the six-month period ahead. We're quite confident on those figures. So that said, I'd like to open up for questions, and so I think that would be the best use of your time, and we can go into more detail for anything that you find important to be addressed here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, the floor is now open for questions. If you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Jamie Lee of Ohio Teachers.
Hello. Hi, Marcus. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. Hi.
Hi. Can you elaborate a little more on the outlook for domestic sales, the 9% growth? Do you have a breakdown in terms of volume versus price?
Okay, good question. Mostly volumes. What we have right now is that the price was lower in the first quarter of this year, 15% year-on-year. That was not ourselves lowering the prices for any yield management strategy or anything like that. That was a passive change in the mix. Nor we lowered the prices for each and every product, nor we did a more sophisticated approach to yield management, nor we invested more a higher effort, a stronger effort and emphasis in trying to sell the cheaper products. It was the market that is buying more of our products. So not being an explicit effort for the company, we do not expect in the coming quarters to see necessarily that the mix would be more focused or more weighted on the cheaper products, although that may happen because of the market demand. But that would be more a passive result than an active strategy for the company. What, yes, we expect is that volumes should have a good performance, and what we do in that guidance, it's a result of the budgeting system that we do at the company. We have the projections for each and every month until the end of the year, and we have the projections for specific products for their prices and for the volumes expected. And we run that with our sales team all the time. I mean, every month we go on revising that, and we have their interaction with the retailers. And from that, we have the sales result as the sum of all those inputs. And in those inputs, we do not have any more aggressive strategy for pricing. We do not aim to reduce prices, and we aim to have the same prices for the line of products. What may happen, like happened in the first quarter, is that the market may buy much more of the cheaper products because also of the competitive pressures of the exchange rates, the fact that all durables, non-durables, everything is cheaper now because of the dollar component in the market. And in the consumer goods generally, but mostly would be volumes than prices, more volumes than prices.
Okay, so volume could be higher than 9%, where ASP could come down somewhat.
Without going into giving a specific guidance, because we did not give that guidance in the previous call, Portuguese call or in the press release, but without going into the specific numbers, you're right. Yeah, that's for sure. Though we could have a slightly better performance in volumes than that, and then prices could be slightly lower year on year. You're right.
Okay. And on the export side, the first quarter, the volume growth has been very strong. Even though in dollar terms, price only declined about 5%, you had a 28% volume growth in exports. What's been driving that?
Just one second. I'm just checking the most precise answer to your question.
Okay.
Just one second, please, Jamie. Okay, Jamie, there is one important thing to explain here is the following. You would agree that the scenario for the exchange rate has been negative for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've been doing every day, every week, is trying to sell as much as possible on the export market. So we were calling each and every retailer that buys from us, and we did it all through the first quarter trying to sell a lot. And, of course, with that, you tend to bring closer some sales that you'd, in another way, not be in a hurry to make. So we were much more efficient and under pressure to sell as much as possible to our retailers abroad to anticipate the summer, because you know that in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, usually you would sell to those retailers in February, March, April, before May. And so we're trying to sell as much as possible in the first quarter, also because of the pressure of the exchange rate that seemed to be going down. And so if you look at the first half as a whole, we have the forecast or the first three quarters as a whole, we had this excellent near 30% growth in the first in volumes in the first quarter, and then we have the expectation of a 4% lower export in the coming two quarters. You could sort of average out the first three quarters to see a more reasonable pattern. Another way to answer your question is yes, on the exports we may see a little bit more of volatility of the year-on-year growth every quarter.
Okay, but your guidance for exports, even though it's a 4% growth, I would imagine would play quite a bit in it, like what happened in the first quarter. The ASP in exports terms declined much more significantly than in dollar terms, so part of it is the currency.
Exactly. The idea is that, let's say that all things equal, that our prices would be the same of last year in dollar terms, then we would have 4% lower exports in volumes.
Okay.
If you consider that assumption of constant prices. The problem is that given the exchange rate, that implies a 16% lower revenue in local currency, in reais, for the coming 6 months.
Okay.
But prices being constant, I mean, it's not that much of a variation in volumes. Actually, you would expect to sell slightly lower volumes with a more challenging exchange rate anyway.
Okay. So, in other words, in the next 6 months, basically in the first quarter, you kind of front-loaded a lot of the sales and exports.
Yeah, you could say that, yeah. You'd have to sort of average it out over some quarters. And that's also why, given the specificities of this industry, especially on the export business, and we try to sell as much as possible well before the summer, et cetera, that you could have some intra-quarter volatility, that we invited people to look over the coming two quarters for the guidance and also for a 12-month accumulated smoothing out the variation a little bit. And another thing that is important to tell is that for some countries like Argentina, we're still selling a bit now. And so given the fact that for all different countries would have different seasonalities, and in the case of Argentina specifically, which is one important market for us, it depends a lot on the regulatory issues and the changes in the regulatory issues and the fact that Argentina may give you the allowances to export in a certain month and may not give 6 months from now. When we get those allowances, we need to export a lot. We're doing that right now, for instance. We did that in the first quarter. We're doing that right now. So you have a little bit of volatility on the specificities also country by country that would affect and create some volatility on the exports quarter after quarter. That's why if we look more in a longer period of maybe two quarters ahead or two quarters ahead plus the two previous quarters in the 12-month accumulated, we would have a little bit more of a more smoothed out result.
Okay. Thank you. I have other questions, but I'll let other people ask them. Then I'll come back.
Okay, come back. Okay, then. That's kind. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Once again, the floor is now open for questions. If you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
There is an important comment here from Pictet from Chris Edwards. Hi, Chris. Thanks for your email. Actually, there is a little bit of a mistake in the way we expressed it. The sentence saying advertising expenses were 12% lower, actually, it's selling expenses that is 12% lower. You're absolutely right, Chris. Thank you very much.
Once again, the floor is open for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further questions at this time.
There's one final question that arrived here for the over the email is the following: how aggressive or conservative we are for our guidance of the coming two quarters, because it is a very substantial improvement. Actually, I think it's not our role to be neither aggressive or conservative. We need to give the market our best view of what will be the results. Of course, if we are too conservative, people could blame us for being too conservative and not buying our shares, because we just try to be conservative and to lowball just to surprise on the upside. And if we do the contrary, even worse, because people could blame us for being too aggressive just to impress the market, and then we can't deliver. So we will try always to be right on the money, on the guidance. Of course, if the macroeconomic conditions change 1 month from now, if we publish a new guidance, this would not be valid anymore. We could publish a new one, and if the macroeconomic conditions change, there would be a deviations from the current guidance, and the new one would be the one valid. Could be better, could be worse. And that's how we do, but we're aiming at doing a very fair, focused, and the most reliable possible, the most exact possible guidance. Nor conservative and even less aggressive. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from Jamie Lee of Ohio Teachers.
Hi, Marcus. I guess I'm the one asking questions. Marcus, on that, the guidance for the next two quarters, it seems like there is very substantial improvement in the EBITDA margin, about 400 basis points that that's incorporated in a guidance. What's the main driver for that?
Well, actually, if you just check the past quarters, Jamie, what we've been doing is the third quarter, the EBITDA margin improved 350 basis points. in that is the chart on page 14. In the fourth quarter, near 500 basis points. In the first quarter, 240 basis points. And that is during a period of sales decrease that is not diluting fixed costs and expenses. On the contrary, paying more per pair for those fixed costs and expenses. The moment that we reduced so much the cost that we could increase, even with the sales decrease, we could increase margins. The moment that we begin to increase a little bit the sales, there is a very big, very substantial operational leverage there. And then very fast, we could have much better margins. And so the margin improvement is already happening with no sales decrease. We're very confident that with some sales increase, that margin would grow very fast.
So would it be fair to say in the last year, some of the margin increase also comes from the cost of the input cost declined because of the strong currency? So is that, you know, the currency hasn't appreciated as much this year.
One interesting thing, Jamie, you're absolutely right on that question. I will just call your attention and our other callers to page 10. On page 10, you see our cost. The only place where we impacted positively by the strong real is in the cost for petrochemicals, okay? And you have that on page 10. The cost of petrochemicals, they represented 50% of our costs in this quarter. And as our gross margin is around 50%, that is some 25% of sales. That is the impact. And the impact, as you see there, is much more due to a very efficient management of our industrial cost basis than the fact that the petrochemicals have helped us. Pretty much the contrary. While half of our raw materials, the plastic oil, have been going up steadily in the past 9 months, our cost per pair has been going down steadily in the past 4 quarters. Other than this, the impact of the real on the margins is very negative. Why? Because not only on the 20% of the sales that come from exports, we are negatively impacted by the strong real or the weak dollar, but on the rest of the 80% that we sell in the domestic market, because in the domestic market, there is a big impact of the exchange rate. You have cheaper products that compete for the share of pockets of the consumers.
Right.
So the impact to the domestic market is huge of this strong real, and that is negative. And even so, we have been able to grow EBITDA margins.
Okay. And
now that the situation is stable, at least we have a level of playing field with the foreign players, with the other consumer goods. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So you're confident that you can achieve the 400 basis points improvement over the next 2 quarters?
Yeah, the one thing that we control in this company, and that is the one thing that we can say that we're very proud and be very resolute that we can do, is to cut costs and expenses and continue to do so like we've been doing in the past quarters. One thing that we do not control is sales. On that, there is always a factor of uncertainty. What we can say is that we're confident that the sales will grow a little bit. And if that happens, and that is the biggest, but if that happens, we're very confident that the margins will expand and that the EBITDA and the profit will really increase in this substantial way of more than 30%. The one thing that can go wrong, because if everything that we control is cost and expenses, the one thing that can go, quote-unquote, wrong is the performance of our sales. And we're very focused on that. That I can guarantee. When we do not sleep at night, it's because of sales performance. We're 100% focused on that. And we're confident that we'll have, and we're not talking here of a 20% or 30% sales increase, it's a 6%. And versus a basis that is pretty modest. Huh? So we can tell you that we're confident, yes, on that guidance.
Where would the most of the cost cutting be coming from? In the past, it seems to be marketing expenses is quite noticeable.
It is just part of that. If you see, we have been improving every single quarter. We have been improving gross margin and EBITDA margin and net margin. Gross margin is because of increasing productivity of labor, more efficient processes that can produce more shoes with less labor. Two, raw material, a very severe control of the use and rationalization of the use of raw material, more than the price of those raw materials, which float out of our control, but the big rationalization. And that is in terms of costs. In terms of EBITDA, you add to the gross margin improvement the fact that we're trimming down general and administrative expenses. We are reducing as well advertising, and that goes to and other selling expenses, and that goes to EBITDA margin. Between EBITDA margin and the net margin, we have been having every single quarter in the past quarters higher financial revenues because we implemented this zero exchange rate exposure in the balance sheet, this policy of zero exposure in the balance sheet. And so with that, financial revenues have been higher as well. So in every line of our income statement, you see recurring factors helping to expand the margins. There is two places where we have no control that we could have negative surprises. Petrochemical prices, they could surge more in the coming quarter, and our cost per pair could rise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what can I tell you on that front? So far, we have been able to minimize the volatility of the raw material pricing variation, as you see in page 10. The other place where we could have surprise that things are out of our complete control is sales performance. On sales performance, we depend on the dollar. If the dollar goes to 180, the market would be even more competitive and it could disappoint. And we could have even more cheap products coming from China and from elsewhere. But what I feel is that so far, we're very confident that that figure, that 6%, we can deliver, and that we will be working very hard. That you can bet, Jamie.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Jamie.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further questions at this time.
Also, we would like to thank you all very much. Really, bear with us and watch out, because over here we will be working very hard to deliver that increased debit and profit. And so, hope to talk to you soon. Thank you very much. And we, as always, we're available for your direct questions and phone calls, and we'll be able and glad to go over that again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude the Grandine conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day.